Blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of sin of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They're like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked leads to destruction. I have long loved Psalm 1. I think the early reason and the remaining reason is because of that imagery of a tree. Speaking of camp, several years ago we did a camp theme that we called Between the Trees, and we talked about the tree metaphor that kind of makes its way throughout the whole story of God, starting with the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life that's in the garden with Adam and Eve, and then you return to that tree of life in Revelation, and all throughout there is this arc that these descriptions of trees, and Psalm 1 is one of those. And I think that's what early on sort of enamored me with this psalm, is because I want to be like that. You want to be like that, the kind of person that regardless of what comes, you're steady and you're stable and you're rooted and you're producing life even when everything else around you feels like it's withering. And I want to be that kind of person. And so I found myself very early on connected to this psalm. And there's so much to unpack, and we will in just a moment. Turn to Psalm 1 if you will. And while you're turning there, just humor me. This is crowd participation. Just humor me. See if, maybe this is a chance for us to sort of wake up, get the blood flowing. Here we go. See if you can help me finish this jingle. Give me a break, give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. There you go. Okay, you got it. This is a good start, right? Let's go two for two. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Yeah, okay. How about this one? The best part of waking up. Yeah, and some of you were trying to figure out, do I do the last part of go up, or do I, it's Folgers. But that's the best part of waking up is, really? Folgers? Okay, how about this one? I'd like to buy the world a Coke. That's an older one. Some of you were like, I have no idea what you're talking about with that. Okay, all right, that's fine. But yeah, this is the best one. My baloney has a first name. It's yes. My baloney has a second name. It's that is so sad that we know that, isn't it? I mean, that's just ridiculous that we could spell baloney. Two more. What would you do for a Klondike bar? Okay, now this is the last one, I promise. The last one. I'm sure the teams are like, what are they doing? This is ridiculous. But I think you know this one. Like a good neighbor. Yes, they are always there, like a good neighbor. Okay, so last week when we were introducing the idea of Psalms, we talked about how Psalms connect, how they hit us in a way where you could say something and it would sound one way, but you sing it, and it's like it hits differently, right? It connects with your heart. It traverses the path between heart and head. And because songs connect, we alluded to this last week, songs also stick. You just proved it, like, right? And the thing is, I looked those up on the internet. I didn't have to look up the YouTube video of it. As soon as I saw it, I knew how the song went, right? Songs stick. We know this to be true. This is why when you're teaching a child the fundamentals, the basics, you don't just rattle off a bunch of letters in the alphabet. You do A, B, C, D, E, F, right? And they have it. I remember when our kids were younger, we were trying to teach them our phone number so that if they were separated from us and somebody was saying, hey, can you tell us your mom's phone number, your dad's phone number? And we kept trying, and it wasn't really breaking through. And then we came up with this little jingle. I won't sing my number, but it was like this. Na, 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 na. 5 minutes, they had our number. They could sing it right now. In fact, one of them may be in here, and he could sing it right now from when he was like 3 years old, because songs stick. And so if you want some sort of wisdom, if you want something to get locked into somebody's head, you sing it. That's why they come up with jingles, because they know you're going to be able to spell Oscar Mayer, right? I mean, that's what is the point of that, is that songs stick. And when you start talking about the Psalms as either a message to God, from us to God, we certainly just were singing one of those, forever he is glorified. That's the one that wrecked me. I was literally right there weeping. That's a song, message to God, right? But then there are other songs that we sing, and certainly psalms that are in the centerpiece of our Bible, that are a message from God. There are these wisdom psalms. Psalm 1 is one of those. From the very beginning, it's this wisdom. And there's not a whole lot of adoration. There's not a whole lot of, God, you are so glorious and magnificent and majestic. It's more, this is the way things are. This is the reality of the way the world is. If you want to know more about how the world works, Psalm 1. It's a wisdom psalm. And you sing it so that it gets stuck. And you then can recall the wisdom when it's needed. So here at the very beginning, the very first psalm starts with this word, blessed, which is kind of a churchy word. I mean, usually when you see someone do hashtag blessed, you know they probably go to church, right? That's kind of a church word. So let's take a step back from it. The word blessed that starts the entire book of Psalms is sort of like the question that you get asked multiple times a day and you only partially answer most of the time. How are you? How you doing? How's your week been? You only partially answer that, right? That's the question that you and I are confronted with at the very beginning of the Psalms. How are you? Are you blessed? What does it even mean to be blessed? And what kind of person is blessed? What are we chasing here? So it follows it up with, blessed is. Are you blessed? Some might answer that. There's been certainly times in my life where I've said I was blessed back when, before. You ever been there? There was a time when I could have told you I was blessed, but... Or some of us at times answer that question by pointing forward. Well, I would be blessed if... What does it mean to be blessed? Blessed is... And then just a few more words. Blessed is the one who. In just a few words, the very beginning of the psalm says that blessed is not something that happens to you accidentally. It's not happenstance. It's not luck. It's not the universe smiling on you. It's not the right set of circumstances just happen to align. Blessed is the one who, which means blessed is a result of a decision that you make. A person is blessed when... In a few words, this song defines what we're all trying to figure out. Blessed is the one who, and it starts with the things that you don't do if you want to be blessed. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. This is what, if you want to be blessed, this is not the path to that. This is not the decision to that. I like the way it talks about walking in step with the wicked. So Have you ever noticed when you're walking with anybody? Maybe you're in the mall. Maybe you're walking down the street. Maybe you're walking to class. Have you noticed the longer you walk with somebody, the more likely it is that you're going to get in step with them? It's just, you get the same rhythm. In fact, over time, you end up using the same legs, right? It's almost like left, right, left, right. You're not saying that, but you're doing that. Over time, you get right in step with the person that you're walking with. What this is saying, I don't think, is don't spend time with people who don't know Jesus, or don't spend time with people who don't believe what you believe, or don't spend a lot of time with people who act differently or don't live the kind of life that you think they should live. I don't think that's what this is saying, because if that's what this is saying, there is no possibility of witness, right? There is no possibility of testimony. There is no sharing of your faith if we don't spend any time with anybody but people who believe what we believe. What it's saying is, as you walk with somebody who is different, sees the world differently than you think is right, you make sure that you're always out of step with them. Don't get into step with them. You ought to always feel a little off in the conversation, because you see the world differently. Don't get in step with them. One of the other ways it is translated is, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or don't follow the advice of the wicked. You ought to feel a little different because you see the world differently. I do think there's a progression here too. It talks about don't walk, then don't stand, then don't sit. There is this sense of getting more and more comfortable with things as they are, instead of feeling like this is not the way it's supposed to be. The other side of that is wicked sinners, mockers. I don't think that's just, let's switch it up a little bit. And I also don't think that's progression, like walk, stand, sit. I think it's getting more and more specific. Who are the wicked? One of the things that you'll notice in the Psalms, and Psalm 1 is sort of opening the book of the Psalms. In the Psalms, you have these two unmistakable categories, the wicked and the righteous. And they're either or. You don't encounter in the Psalms the somewhat wicked and the mostly righteous. There's no in between in the Psalms. It's either the wicked or the righteous. And in that, you're reading some of these Psalms, maybe one of David, and you think, okay, well, maybe David wrote this Psalm, and he says, my walk is blameless, I'm among the righteous. And you think, I know the story enough about David, you're not blameless. So how are you righteous? We're going to come back to that. But the wicked ultimately are those who have a posture that faces in a certain direction. And sinners, I think, is just getting a little more specific. When you have a posture that heads in that direction, your actions go in that direction. So a sinner is one who lives out of that posture. And a mocker is one who is so convinced that that way is right, that my way is right, that the way I'm going is right, that anybody who does anything different, they're going to call out. They're going to be like, why would you do that? Just do what feels right for you. Why are you listening to somebody else? Why are you following some law of some God that you're not even sure about? What are you doing? That's a mocker. So the wicked and the sinners and the mockers, don't fall in step. But then it says, but here's what you do. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. And that word law comes up twice there. It's the word Torah. And it could mean what the Hebrews would call the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Quick kind of biblical lesson. The Hebrew scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, were arranged into three sort of categories called the Tanakh. The Torah, which is those first five books, the Navim, which is the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which is the writings. And the writings would be things like Job and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Psalms. And so it could be that what they're saying is meditate on the first five books of the Bible, but I think it's probably a little bit more general than that. Torah ultimately means instruction, teaching, direction. Meditate on the way that God would have you go. Delight in what God wants for you. What's really fascinating is you've got the Torah, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then you've got this book of songs, and guess how many books are within the book of Psalms? Five. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you even didn't even notice the subscript or whatever. We're in book one, obviously. We're starting with one. 1 through 41 is book one, and it goes from there. And if you look, you'll see there are books of Psalms. This first one is mostly of David. So it's either written by David, or it's his personal songbook, or it's the ones he contributed. But most of them, almost all of them, are of David, except the first two, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, which it sure looks like were put at the very beginning intentionally. Why that matters is this, because I think part of what they're saying here is if you spend some time singing these songs, you're going to get exposed to the truth about God. So delight in these songs. Fall in love with these songs. Sing these songs. Meditate on these songs. Let them become a part of what you sing and say daily and nightly so that this becomes a song that you're singing. That's the kind of person that becomes like a tree that's planted beside streams of water. Now, let's go back to the wicked and the righteous for a second, because this is important. All throughout the Psalms, you have those two categories. And I don't think it's an accident that also in this first Psalm, there's a lot that has to do with the way. The way of the righteous, he looks over. The way of sinners, they won't stand. Don't walk in the way of sinners. There's a lot about the way, right? It's a direction. And you read things, like I said, about David, where he says, I'm righteous. I'm a part of the blameless. Here's what I think is going on there. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is not guilt level, it's compass heading. Let me read that again. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is not guilt level, it's compass heading. Here's what I mean. So often I think we think about sin and wickedness in terms of a meter. So you do something that you shouldn't do and you peg the meter. And if you get up to 50-50, I mean, now you're kind of bordering on being wicked, right? I don't think that's the way that Psalms or the rest of Scripture sees wickedness. It's not like, oh, well, you did this. Oh, that was a bad one, man. You just popped it up really high there. Wickedness is not a meter. It's a direction. Every one of us, hear this. Every one of us, if being part of the wicked or the righteous was dependent on whether you or I sin, every one of us is wicked. Every one of us. Every one of us is in desperate need of the grace of God. What this is about in being wicked or righteous is not how much have I sinned or what sins have I done or where am I on the meter. It's what direction am I heading? Who have I trusted? Am I putting my faith in him or am I putting my faith in something else, namely me? Am I going to trust his voice, his law, his way, or am I going to trust mine, what I want, what I feel, where I want to go? That is the difference between the wicked and the righteous, and that's why the Psalms can be so definitive about those two things, because it's about what direction are you headed in, and ultimately, it's about whose voice do you trust. That's the difference between the wicked and the righteous. And the righteous are like a person who's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. I want to be that kind of person. I can tell you there's been a few things even this week that have thrown me off kilter, things that were so small when I started. That's actually why I was having the reaction I was to the song we were just singing, is because I kept thinking, he has overcome, what am I worried about? But I worry about it. Maybe you're like that too. You get knocked off a little bit. The slightest of thing can happen and you feel like you're just blown back and forth. Just, oh no, it's all coming apart. And I want to be steady and stable and producing life, even when everything else around may be withering. I want to be that kind of person. You want to be that kind of person. I think that's the condition of the blessed. I think what you have in the verse before this about delighting in the law of the Lord, that's the decision. Being like a tree is the condition that comes from that decision. That's the way it happens. That person is like this tree, but not so the wicked. They're like chaff. The wind blows away. So what is blessed? Blessed is sure footing when all else is shaking. Blessed is a source of life when all around you is withering. Blessed is producing fruit when the timing is right. But regardless of what happens along the way, no matter how barren or dry it gets, blessed doesn't wither, because blessed is evergreen. No matter how dry it gets. I don't think blessed means you don't have trouble. Everybody has trouble. I think blessed is the truth about who you are, even when it's trouble. I think that's what the tree metaphor is all about. But not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. The last couple of verses, I think, are important as well. They're the ones we kind of skip over, but I think they're important. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. This may be pointing to the end times judgment, but I think it's more general than that. It includes that, but I think it's more general than that. The judgment, think of a courtroom. At some point, there becomes this definitive pronouncement of this is what's true versus this is what's the lie. And I think what it's ultimately, this is a declaration this psalm is making, is there's going to come a moment when it gets revealed what is true and what's a lie. And this is saying those who are the righteous, who have trusted God, will discover that they were living the truth. And those who have decided not to trust God will, in that moment, whether it's at the end of all things or whether it's just in that moment, will discover that what they're living is a lie, because they're like chaff that the wind blows away. That's why they can't stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. This is why you are like a tree. Not because you were strong enough, but because of who you trusted in. And he watches you, and he cares for you. But the wicked, their way leads to destruction. Notice this. This psalm begins with the word blessed, and it ends with the word destruction. And in between, it says, this is the way to go if you want that outcome. You know how you put a location in your GPS, in your maps? I want to go to wherever you're getting ready to go to lunch. You may put it in there. And it's going to say, turn left or turn right. Go in this way. Go that direction. You may make a wrong turn along the way. You may make several wrong turns. You may get into conversation, you realize, oh, shoot, I just passed it. And what's it going to say? Rerouting, right? Here's another way to get there. But if you put in the wrong location, you're never going to get there. Eventually, you have to head in that direction. You can't get somewhere that's east if you're constantly going west. You can't get somewhere that's north if you're constantly going south. At some point, you turn and head toward him. That's the difference between the wicked and the righteous, is which way are you heading? What's the location you put in? And if that location is God and what he would have for your life, be blessed. We're going to sing a song about longing for, as the deer longs for, pants for the water. Would you stand with me and let's pray before we sing that song, that God would stir that desire, that longing to be a part of the things that he has prepared for us, the way that he's designed for us to go, and that our longing becomes him. Lord, that's our prayer, is that our longing becomes you, and that's why we delight in your law, because we want more of you. And so whatever you want for us, we trust you. We don't trust our voice, God, because our voice has led us astray plenty of times. We think we know what we want, and we get there, and we realize it was fool's gold. It was empty sand. And so we trust you with whatever it is you want for our life. We set our course and our direction toward you. And we pray that you would stir in us a longing for you, a desire for you as the deer pants for the water. And we pray that, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.